Let's pray, okay? Father, God, what we share here and what we desire to receive from you is way more important than I can make, Lord God. And Lord, you know this bunch, they don't need to hear from John Council. They don't need to hear from Christine Lecomte. They don't need to hear from Dave Kitts. They need to hear from you. We need to hear from you, God. But Lord, they're kind of stuck with me this morning. So, God, I'm going to give you my 5 loaves and my 2 fishes, and I'm asking you right now, Lord God, would you bring life to it, Lord God? And would you make us the people you want us to be, Lord God? Because I know that what you want us to be is way better than we could ever be on our own, and way better, Lord, than we even intend to be. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's another one of these messages where, you know, you kind of put together, you kind of follow the Lord, and you're going, oh God, this better be you, because this is really strange, okay? So I'm trusting that God's going to touch you today. There's the title, and we're going to go to the Bible story that a lot of you know, okay? And here it comes. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. I like that. He sat down to teach them, okay? He wasn't a guy that was putting on a show, standing up like I am. He sat down. Which should tell you, it was not about the performance. It was not about, you know, necessarily his communicative skills. It was the content of the message. It was his words that were life, not the delivery. Okay? Here we go. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, so he kind of ignored them, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Now, most of you know this story, okay? Most of us, though, don't put ourselves in this lady's position here, okay? In her frame of mind. I want you to get in her head. I want you to kind of get into that scene about 2,000 years ago, okay? She is caught. She's caught doing something wrong. Now, to get into a position like that, she obviously put her confidence in somebody. She put her confidence in a guy, okay? She put her confidence in somebody that led her to believe she could engage in that activity and it would be fun. And it would be beneficial to her. She trusted him. She got caught, okay? And on top of that, this is grossly, ridiculously unfair. Here she is thrown in front of these people. You can't tell me that she was thinking, "Hey, where's the guy? You know, it takes two to tango here," okay? So not only has she been, is her trust been violated, she's been caught, but the ridiculous unfairness of it, okay? She is in a situation that she can't do anything about. It's unfair. And she knows what's coming, okay? She knows the law. And she could probably scream and yell, but she knows what kind of authority the Pharisees have. She knows that everybody respects the Pharisees and nobody ever crosses them because they're the most trusted leaders. They are national heroes. The Pharisees were the political party that the people elected, but they were given a little bit of democracy under the Romans, okay? And the Pharisees were the national heroes because they had driven the Romans out through the Maccabees about 100 to 200 years earlier. If your son was a Pharisee, you put a bumper sticker on your donkey that said, "My son's a Pharisee," okay? Like, that was a proud thing to be. Nobody crossed them, okay? And she knows what the penalty is for adultery. She's been thrown down. She's been exposed. It is all in one vicious, horrible, unfair swoop. It's the end of her dreams. It's the end of her life. It's the end of her plans. There she is. She's humiliated. And now she's going to be tried. And not only that, the embarrassment in front of everybody. There's no way out. She is facing death. Now, there's a lot of sub-stories here, okay? Because if you're like me, I want to take those Pharisees and put them through the wall. How dare you, okay? And I think I may have the Spirit of Christ because Christ handles this with such incredible wisdom. It's amazing. Can you even imagine where she's at and what's going on in her head? It's really, really hard to, but I'm trying to get us to a little bit. There's no reason to believe she's going to get out of this mess, okay? She doesn't have the benefit. We see the end of the story. Her life is over. There is no way out here, okay? There's no way. I mean, her friends might, and she might even have a semblance of faith, you know, well, faith to get out of it. No, forget it. There's no way. There's no way. She was somehow led astray to get caught in an act like that. We don't know how guilty she was. Okay? For all we know, the guy could have been one of the Pharisees. We don't know. Okay? Because they knew where to catch her. They knew where to look. What a bunch of sickos, eh? She was led astray. We don't know how guilty she was. She may have been a seductress. I don't know. Okay? She may have ruined a marriage. She may be really, really guilty than, way more guilty than, you know, just the innocent poor girl that's thrown before, you know, the Pharisees. We don't know, okay? She might have been conned. Maybe she was just naive and she was promised. Anyway, none of that stuff matters because she's toast. It's over. Her life is over. Now, she probably heard of Christ. Everybody had heard of Christ by this time. They knew what this guy was doing. And she's thrown in front of this guy. So I've heard of this guy. I hear he's a good man. I hear he's, you know, he's very fair. He's very, very wise. I don't think she would have been thinking though, well, something's up because she doesn't have enough experience. Okay. She was probably, she could have been following him at a distance. She may not have been following him. We don't know. Okay? She did not seek him out. Okay? This is not the lady that was determined Christ was the answer to her problem, so I'm gonna break through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. This is not this lady. Okay? She is, think about this, she did not choose to follow him. She is forcibly thrown at his feet. We have no indication whatsoever that she had any intention of following Christ. Maybe knew about him, but now it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where she was following him. Doesn't matter where she was a million miles away. Her life is over. Okay? She doesn't have, there's no court of appeal. Caught in the act. And who's going to testify against Pharisees? Nobody. Because they're the ones that, it's like, you know, when the cop takes you in and says, you know, yeah, you were doing like 95 in a 40 kilometer zone. And if it's your word against his, they're going to go with the cop all the time. Because he's authority. Okay? He took a vow. He's trusted. Yeah, it's possible that sometimes there's a corrupt cop. That doesn't matter. You brought in, you got your testimony against his, forget it. Unless you got witnesses, and they've got witnesses, they caught her red-handed. No hope. She's dead. Okay? She's condemned to die. She's thrown at his feet. She may be a sinner. Possible. I mean, we're all sinners. But she's definitely a victim. No question. Whether she's a sinner or not, or a seductress, or ruined a marriage, or she's naive, or she was conned, we don't know about all that stuff, but she is definitely a victim. Nobody should have to have them, you know, seized and thrown, you know, and exposed like that. That's just not fair, especially with the guy not there. That's just wrong, okay? That doesn't matter either. She's definitely a victim. She's definitely not in control. There's nothing she can do about this. Are you getting the analogy to wherever you are in Jesus right now? Okay? Lots of times I feel like I got no control. There's nothing I can do. It doesn't matter whether it's fair or not. Nothing. There's nothing you can do. Okay? And she's thrown down in front of him. She has a very, very good idea what will happen because stonings were a public thing there. They wanted to drive home the point that, you know, we follow God and we follow the law. And when they executed, it was a public thing. Only 150, 200 years ago, right in this continent here, when they hung people, when they executed, that was a public thing. They wanted everybody to see, this is what happens when you break the law. That's the kind of attitude that prevails here. You can call it politically incorrect or whatever. I'm just giving you a bit of a history lesson. That's all. That's the culture. You make all kinds of comments. That's just so wrong. That's just so, yeah, okay, probably it, but it doesn't matter. She's dead. She's there. They're gonna kill her. Okay? All the unfairness, all the reasons why, all the arguments you got, doesn't matter. Her life is over and she is not in control. She's got a great idea what's gonna happen. There's only one variable here and she's not too clear on the variable. And we seem to be not very clear on the variable either, and that's why I think God has led me to talk like this morning, okay? There's only one variable, one glimmer of hope, okay? And the only glimmer of hope is whose feet she's been thrown down at, okay? Now, as far as they're concerned, doesn't matter, they got her. As far as she's concerned, her life's over. As far as people that follow close to Jesus and know what he's capable of, they're going, at the very best, at the most hopeful, oh, this is going to be interesting. Whoa, how's he going to handle this? This girl's, there's no way out of this. The difference is whose feet she's been thrown down at. This has never happened to anyone up until this time. Ever. Ever. When they caught you in the act of adultery, immediate trial right away, and they called the people together and they stoned the person. Okay? There was never a case of, well, let's take him to somebody and see what he thinks for it. This has never happened. There's no precedent for this. Okay? Who is this Jesus? We know who he is, don't we? Because we know the end of the story. Oh, let's see how John puts this all together. Oh, this is going to have a happy ending. It's just like a Disney movie, you know? Try to put yourself in the frame of mind where there's no way they know what's happening here. Okay? We know who he is. She doesn't. She's heard of him. Well, some people even think he might be the Messiah. We have no idea what her background is, but it doesn't matter. When you're faced with death, when you're faced in a hopeless situation, when you're faced, this is unfair, it's wrong, it doesn't matter. You're dead. It's over. Okay? She's not even thinking about those things. She's never heard, you know, of who he is, like from following the scriptures, because this gospel account hasn't been written yet. She's no idea what's coming and where this is going, okay? She doesn't know what the Bible says, okay? She doesn't know that the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Has no clue what that's there. And that's not much of that in the Old Testament either. You know, the Bible that they followed. She doesn't know that for God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That truth has not been driven home yet. Christ has got a new way and it's revolutionary and it's upset everything and it's really caused sociological havoc in Palestine at the time. But that scripture is not there yet. She is not privy to that. She does not know that scripture. Okay? She doesn't know, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? None of that. So there's no hope. We know these scriptures. We've heard these. Okay? She hasn't. She's about to get one of the most incredible examples of who he is that has ever been witnessed. And she gets it firsthand. Wow. Not only her, but those rotten Pharisees are about to get one of the most incredible examples of who he is too. He is about to give them an undressing that they are never going to forget. And when word of it spreads, it is going to destroy their credibility. They are so scared that they might be swept out of power and they will lose all the privileges that the Romans have given them. Why do you think they hate this guy? This guy makes us look like idiots. We're losing our authority because what did they say about him when he preached? He speaks not as the Pharisees, but as one who has authority. Wow. Wow. He's going to give him an example. Are you or someone close to you at the end of your rope? Have you been exposed or somebody close to you? Has your world fallen apart? Is the diagnosis hopeless? From everything you can see, or somebody close to you, because some of you are going to take this and God's going to use you to communicate it in a beautiful way. in a natural way to somebody. The word is going to go from me to you to somebody, okay? Remember whose feet you've been thrown down before, okay? Remember, well, it doesn't feel like it. You think she felt like it? Oh, it's Jesus they throw the... Oh, I'm fine. Uh-uh. She had no reason to believe it all. None. Now, it says that they threw them down, they threw her down at his feet. That's significant. Because when you are thrown at the feet of somebody, feet in the Old Testament and the New says, so here, sit at my feet. It is always a symbol of coming under authority. Okay? When you have your enemies under your feet, they're under your authority. The Bible uses terminology that the Lord has all glory is given to God and everything is under his feet. It's under his authority. They've thrown him at his feet. So really, they don't realize what they've done, but they have unwittingly, the Pharisees and in the sovereignty of God, they've submitted to Christ's authority. They have given up authority over this woman by throwing him at his feet. Okay? There she is. James talks about it as well, okay? When somebody poor comes into the church, you know, you say, you know, here, sit at my feet, okay? That's not, but when somebody is rich, you give them the best, you give them the best place in the house. That's human nature to do that. It's wrong. When somebody sits at our feet, we're under authority. You'll see this a lot even in Middle Eastern culture, okay? Remember when they tore down that big statue of Saddam Hussein and you saw people taking their shoes off and hit, okay? The most vulgar thing you can do in Middle East culture is show somebody the bottom of your foot. When George Bush was making a speech over there so in Europe, somebody took a shoe and threw it at him. Man, that is worse than giving somebody the middle finger. That is bad, bad, bad. Because you're under them, okay? And it's still here. Are you, now think about this. Are you under the authority of Christ? Well, there's no answer for that. Of course you are. Everyone is. There's nobody that's not under the authority of God. Okay? Nobody. Now, if people try to run from it, they always get in trouble. They always try to sit, you know, the devil lies to them to think that, you know, there are other authorities that will give you, that will get you further ahead, a better lifestyle, a better way of living, and it always extracts from you, okay? Now she could have run and fought, you know, thrown him down and she could have run. That would have been certain death. That would have been a clear admission of guilt, okay, but it didn't matter because they had the witness on her. It was over, okay? She was forced to submit. She's not comfortable. She didn't come willingly to the Lord, okay? No. Okay? We know the rest of the story. She didn't have this luxury that we have. Think about this, okay? We have the luxury of choosing to submit to the authority of God. She didn't have that luxury. She was forced into it. Now, the situation that you're in or a loved one's in, you didn't choose to have that, but yeah, there you are. Okay? No matter where you are, you're still under the authority of God. Totally. Totally. And if you are, you still got this promise, okay? Oh, I'm ahead of myself here. Sorry. You still got the promise of Romans 8 and 28 that we quote so much it becomes cliche. Okay? All things, being thrown down and exposed without a hope and certain death, all things work together for the good to those who are called according to his purpose, to those that are not running from his authority. His purpose is that we be submitted to him. His purpose is that we follow him. The purpose is that we come under his lordship. If that's the case, then it doesn't matter what happened. It's going to work for the good. Okay, it's going to work for the good. Only that promise is only for those to submit to his authority. It's a promise. He doesn't lie. I know sometimes it's a hard time to believe that. That's why we have the truth reinforced in us. Because we're living sacrifices, we keep crawling off the altar and we gotta keep coming back to the word and we gotta keep coming back to what the truth is because we got an enemy poisoning our mind all the time. And his lies make sense. And we got a weak flesh that if it's not enabled by the Holy Spirit, man, we are gonna get in trouble. That's why we encourage one another. That's why Paul said to the church in Hebrews, don't give up meeting together, don't do that. The devil roars around like a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour. And he looks for the stragglers. He looks for the ones that are out on their own. And he has no mercy whatsoever. He's out to kill. Plays dirty. He's the guy that invented the kick 'em when they're down. Okay? He created that tactic. Have you, has your loved one submitted to Christ? Well, I'm born again. Do you know how many born again people I've met that have never submitted to Christ? You know, give me enough of Jesus to get in through the gates. Don't give me this lordship stuff. Okay. It's like the guy, remember the old Fram oil filter commercials? The guy's underneath the car. I'm fixing this guy's car, okay? It's a $1,700 job. You know, if he want to put one of these things in, a Fram oil filter could have saved himself all this money. And what was their theme? They said, you can pay me now or pay me later. Okay? And the word of God is there. It tells us how to live. Okay, you want to do it. You know, thy will be done. And then the other bunch to whom God says, okay, have it your way. God's not mean. God's wonderful. But I'm telling you, life can be really mean. Really mean. In fact, Jesus promised it in John 16:33. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble. It's the same way as saying, life's mean. You know, I died for you. I came to you so that, you know, not only would you cook, get through life with minimum scarring, but you will make a difference in other people's lives too. But it's got to be His way. What's His way? Man, I'm trying to figure that every day. Okay? That's why we have church. That's why we devour the Word. That's why we talk to each other. That's why we pray. I don't have it figured out what's the best way. I know that the Bible is the best way, but that's not the easiest book in the world to understand. Okay? So we study it. We talk about it. We pray. I don't know about you, but I've been doing this all my life. Every time I crack open the Bible, God, please help me understand this. Please show me this. Okay? Because there's stuff in there that drives me nuts. Ticks me off. But it's still His Word. Okay? If I could understand everything and nothing ticked me off, then I'd be as smart as God. Christy, am I as smart as God? Of course not. Okay? But we all know that. Okay? I have to accept some things by faith, and that drives me nuts. I don't like doing that, but I've learned it's His way or a lot harder way. When you come to Christ, save yourself a ton of stress. Surrender all. Because if He's to be truly Lord and not just Savior, listen now, okay? If He is to be truly Lord and not just Savior, if you are to be what God's called you to be, a man of God, a woman of God, and not just a sinner saved by grace, I don't know about you, but that line, sinner saved by grace, I use that for my own faults all the time, okay? I use that as a hammock. I use that as an excuse. A lot of people do. God did not call me to be just a sinner saved by grace. He called me to turn the world inside out. He said, you will have the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. Okay? That's what He designed for us. That's His will. I have came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You look at His purposes for us. There's never insignificance. Okay? That's what the devil poisoned. The devil will always poison the Word of God and put a devious spin on it. Okay? Always. He's good at that. Better than you. If He is to be truly Lord and not just Savior, listen now. What is not surrendered in your life, whatever you're holding on to, it will eat away at you like a cancer. Have you got that? If you're following Christ and there are things that are not surrendered and given to Him, I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about, God, please just, you know, be Lord over this. Now, when you step into that for the first time, it can get really scary. Okay? And any pain and any patience and any long suffering you go through, He's perfecting Christ-likeness in you. He's perfecting greatness in you. Okay? Have you ever met somebody that's never gone through pain, never gone through suffering? Oh, they're a pain in the neck. I don't want to be around those people. Okay? I know people that have gone through hell and have held on because of Jesus. Oh, they're beautiful. They're wonderful. It's like being around Jesus Himself. Okay? Because they've surrendered. If you're going to go through the trial, whining and complaining, that's not surrendering. Okay? That's fighting all the way to heaven. That's not God's plan either. Okay? What is not surrendered, what you hold on to, will eat away at you. It will. This is love for God, to keep His commands. Look at that. And His commands are not burdensome. Okay? The Word of God says they're not burdensome. The devil says, oh, you don't have to put up with this. The only things He asks us to give up are the things that are going to kill us and the things that are going to mess up our lives. That resentment, I know, it's specific in some people's lives. It could be resentment. It could be bitterness. It could be a relationship. It could be an attitude. It could be a perception that you're holding on to. It could be a possession. It could be a position. What happens when you're at the feet of Jesus? What happens when you're at the feet of Jesus? Let's look what happens at the feet of Jesus. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Jesus said of Mary, she's chosen the better thing. So you got the pleasure of God when you're at his feet and when you're in submission. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. I want you to know that a lot of people that are in this category, sometimes they're proclaiming good news. Sometimes they're bringing good tidings. Sometimes they're proclaiming salvation and they're going through hell while they're doing it. Their world is not perfect. There's a lot of things that they're battling, but in spite of that, okay? They focus on God. Before you pack it in, remember whose mercy you're under, okay? Remember whose mercy you're under. Difficult line, I'm going to put it up here anyway. You don't know how powerful God is until you have nothing but him. Jesus straightened up and asked the woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. In other words, I'm not going to give up of you. I'm not going to give up on you. Now leave your life of sin. Jesus knows you better than he knows yourself. I'm sure that because she knew that woman, you know what? She's probably going to go back to her sin. But if she does come to me, I'm still not going to condemn her. I'm still going to save her. I will still forgive. You know, God allows people to rebel. God allows people to do their own thing. Breaks his heart. It's not his will. Never forget, no matter where you're at, whether you choose to follow him or not. His merciful is disarming. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't condemn this woman here, but he drives home the truth. And boy, this is probably an example of Jesus driving home the truth with more love and compassion than has ever been done before. I'm not going to condemn you. Now leave your life of sin. He's driving home the truth. Sin destroys. Sin destroys. Don't fall into the trap of, well, he's going to forgive me anyway. Yeah, he's going to. You're right. Devil always takes a little bit of truth, okay? But you could be scarred for the rest of your life, okay? And those scars, he doesn't always take those scars away because when he does forgive and when we do learn our lesson, I've got scars in my life that I can't change. But those scars remind me, John, don't be stupid. John, don't do it on your own. John, be obedient to the Lord, okay? Stop sinning. There's no record of her responding. Because, boy, you should see how theologians handle this. Well, what does that mean? Go and leave your life of sin. Not, you know, what grace and all. There's all sorts of theological debate. Okay, there's no record of the woman saying, what do you mean leave my life of sin? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? She knew exactly what he meant. She knew exactly what he meant. People sometimes that pry into the meaning of Christ is because they know the meaning and they don't like it. There's got to be a loophole somewhere because that's human nature. We're always looking for the loophole. Always. And that's what challenges the lordship of the Lord in our lives. Okay? Stop sinning, he said. Stop sinning. What is sin? Oh, that sounds so philosophical, doesn't it? What is sin? Best definition you're ever going to see of sin. Here it comes. You've heard it before. I've heard good preaching is just reinforcing what you've already heard. Okay? If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. That's the best definition of sin you're going to get in the Bible right there. Very simple. No theological debate. What I should be doing if I don't do it, that's sin. Most of you, you know, with this culture and in this church family, you know. I don't have to tell you again. But I can't deal with it, you know. Good old cousin. Can't deal with it. It's too simple. Stay at his feet. Stay at his feet. Stay under his influence. Don't stray. Don't convince yourself that you know better. You don't. Okay? And you never will. Okay? God, some of you are not going to like this. Okay? And I'm asking you, please. I'm trying to say this in love. God is smarter than you are. Okay? Hey, God loves you more than you think he does. God is more thoughtful than you think he is. He is. What's the barrier? There may be a barrier. There may be some lack of understanding there. I don't know. But I'm telling you to stay at his feet. Stay under his influence. Do not stray or convince yourself that you know better, because Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man. Makes sense to me. It leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. Close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes. Got a lot of, and I'm asking you to close your eyes because I don't like singling people out and I don't like embarrassing people, and I want to give people a chance to kind of respond and open their hearts up to God, and that's a very serious thing. And a lot of people here today that I don't know. Great, great to have you with us. And I don't know if everybody in the room here has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. You've never given your heart to Christ. And just about every service we do, I give an opportunity for that. It's worth taking 3 or 4 minutes every service, because if we have one or two in an entire year, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices at one sinner who repents. Okay? There's no magic. It's just surrender. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? If you haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior and you want to today, I'm not going to single you out, not going to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you or with you. And we'll get a chance to do that before you leave the room in a way that's not threatening or in any way like that. But if that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand so I can do that with you. Okay? Up and down real quick. Just give it another 10 seconds. Then we're going to change our order of this service a little bit. Good. Okay, Father. I did what I thought was you wanted me to do this morning. And you got to take your word and make it happen in our lives now. You got to do what I can't do, Lord. Holy Spirit, let the word come alive in our lives. Let the power of the word, God, shine through deception, shine through darkness, shine through everything that's holding us back, Lord God, from walking in that beautiful realm of no condemnation. You didn't come to condemn, you came to save, God. And Lord, you didn't come just for us to receive that. Lord, we're conduits of that to suffering people. That's the message we take out this week. God, I know, God, I believe with everything within me, God, that we are going to come across a lot of people this week, Lord God. This is exactly the message they need to hear, that you don't condemn, you save. And I pray it would be so real in our lives that sharing that love and that message, God, will not seem like it's forced or preached. It just comes out, Lord God, as we love, Lord, the people that you bring across our path this week, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before I let you go, I have to complain about something, okay? Christine went and led a chorus last week at the end of the service, and it was the chorus that I'd picked to lead today. Do you remember it from last week? I don't think she knows the verses off by heart, okay? Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. She preached on liberty last week. At Calvary. Let's see if I can remember the verses. Oh, the love that brought salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my heart can only gratefully sing of Calvary. Mercy there is great, a grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There, I can't believe I remember the verse. At Calvary. What's the first verse? Anybody know the first verse? If you start singing, I'll get it right away. First verse. Huh? Just thinking. Anyway, you want to go home. Get up and bless one another. Pray for each other. Have a good week in Jesus.